what is learner-centric training? We are going to find out. Hello, welcome to Leader Feeder. I'm Suzanne Jakes, Marketing Coordinator at Unique Training and Development, and I'm here with Kirk Langford, our General Manager. How are you today, Kirk?
Hi, I'm good, Suzanne. How are you? What a great intro. A lot of
fun. So, not a shocker. I don't know what learner-centric training is.
That's all right.
Maybe that's why I'm here, you know, that's why we're doing this.
You're here to learn, right?
So, yeah, actually, I am.
Yeah.
So, what is learner-centric training and in regards to manufacturing?
Yeah. Well, I'll just say more generally before we go into, you know, in regards to manufacturing training, learner-centric training, if we break that down, it's training centered around the learner. And that contrasts with more traditional learning methods because those would be teacher-centered training, okay? We can break these down a little bit, but essentially what we're thinking about is that you're thinking about training centered around the needs and the skills that the learner wants to acquire or the needs that the learner wants to satisfy. So that's really what it is when we're talking about learner-centric training.
Okay, and I mean, I guess you did kind of touch base there on how it would differ from other training methods. Can you just let us know like some other training methods so that we can compare?
Sure. I can elaborate.
Like, yeah, you know, we kind of know what...
Yeah. So, like I said, it tends to contrast with teacher-centered learning or training. And really what that means is in teacher-centered training, that's what we're generally used to as, you know, people that went to school and have been through training programs. It's sort of like the teacher is the main focus, as it were, and it's for them to be the keeper of the knowledge, right? The wise guru.
Right.
And they are imparting their knowledge on you as the learner, okay? With learner-centered, learner-centric learning or training, what we're really looking at is focusing it around the learner, them sort of taking control of their own learning. And so as an example, when you go into a math class, or even, for example, more applicable, when you go into a health and safety training, it's not so much what do you already know about health and safety, right? What do you need to learn to be better at health and safety? It's sort of like the teacher walks in or the instructor walks in.
Right.
They have a set curriculum of what they're
going
to teach you.
Yep.
It doesn't matter if the 30 people in the classroom all have varying levels of knowledge when it comes to health and safety.
Mm-hmm.
They're all going to get taught and delivered kind of the same information.
Right.
Right. That's teacher-centric learning, where we're not necessarily taking into account what the learner might already know, what their needs are, not really letting them take ownership of the learning. That's teacher-centric learning.
Right.
In a learner-centric or learner-centered learning environment, it's more about the students. So we might do an assessment in advance before the training to say, what do you already know about these topics? Because then we might find out that, oh, well, you three people could use a lot of work on X, Y, and Z.
Right.
You three people are actually pretty strong in those things.
Right.
So you're going to want to focus on A, B, C, and D.
Right.
And so then when we do that, when we, for example, start with an assessment and use this more learner-centric approach.
Is that why we do our pre-training surveys?
That's part of it,
right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Because then it's making the learner in advance think, oh, how confident do I feel when it comes to something like managing a conflict with my team? How confident do I feel when it comes to using a coach-style leadership approach?
Right.
It makes them reflect on it so that when they get into the training session, they're already a little bit more, hopefully anyway, a little bit more self-aware.
Yep.
And it allows the learner to become more accountable. And the other thing that happens, it empowers them to go, well, I can take sort of responsibility for my own skills that I want to either develop or get out of this training session.
Right.
The other part, the other thing that it does is it makes the teacher less of this sort of wise guru that is there to impart their knowledge. And it's funny, when I do training, you know, with our company, with our clients, I often say, listen, there's a whole bunch of you out there and there's one of me. So if we were to count the years of experience, there's way more experience and knowledge and wisdom out here than there is in here.
Absolutely.
And what happens when you do that in a learner-centric setting is that the teacher or the instructor simply becomes more like a facilitator. I'm not there to impart my wise leadership knowledge and you should all just follow what I do and don't question anything. Instead, I'm more saying, you all probably have some solid leadership abilities, some solid leadership skills already, but there's probably some areas where we could use a little bit of strengthening or improvement. So part of our journey together is not just to take everything I say and write it down and go, that was a great tip. Instead, it's going, oh, maybe this is something I already do, but maybe I can just tweak it slightly. Or that's something that maybe won't work as well on my team. How can I adapt that to be more effective on my team? So again, learner-centric, it's really about taking the control and the focus and placing it on the learner so that it's more individual learning mm-hmm. and kind of more specialized learning.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now, you've mentioned a lot of good benefits mm-hmm. already in there. And I'm trying to remember what some of them were. so if you don't mind maybe listing them out again, because you'd mentioned that it was going to be more engaging for them, right? So if it's learner-centric, which means that the learners have a part in kind of, or a sway, right? Mm-hmm. As to like what's going to be taught.
You got it.
So already I imagine that's going to be much more engaging. You know, the outcome of that training is going to be better overall, right?
Well, think of it this way. If I plopped you down in a class, if I said, Suzanne, I'm sending you to do some training, you'd have some questions, probably. You wouldn't probably just go, okay, you know, mm-hmm. that might have been the way, you know, in sort of days gone by. But nowadays, when a learner is asked to learn something, one of the first questions they have is, why should I learn this? Mm-hmm. What value does it have to me, you know, in my job? Or is it even going to help me after this job, in my next job? Mm-hmm. And so we need to think about that. And that's part of the purpose of a learner-led, learner-centric approach, right?
Right.
Is it's not just go to the training and learn what you need to learn. It's thinking about how is the learning going to benefit me? Why am I learning this? And when we are more engaged, we become more engaged rather in the learning when we get a sense of this is important for me.
Yep.
This is beneficial for me. I should pay attention. I should care about what I'm learning as opposed to my boss sent me here.
Right.
Right. Nobody likes to have that feeling of I don't even know why I'm here. I'm not even necessarily engaged. I don't really even care about this. And I can tell you from an instructor's perspective, I prefer a classroom of people that want to be there.
Absolutely,
a classroom of people that have said, oh, this has value to me.
Mm-hmm.
And often I can tell when I'm working with people in a setting that, in a classroom, I can tell the ones that are going, I want to be here. I've chosen to be here. I feel like there's value for me
mm-hmm.
versus the people that are just sitting there going, my boss sent me here. And the funny thing is you put into it, or rather you get out of it, what you put into it. And so I can see those learners sort of sitting there almost, you know, almost the body language gives it away. They're not really receptive and naturally they don't get much out of it.
Mm-hmm.
The ones that have chosen to say, hey, I want to get something out of this. I want to learn. They tend to get the most out of it.
Right.
And that's part of the learner-led, the learner-centric approach is that because they're empowered to want to learn and to think about what do I want to get out of this training, they do get more out of it. They're more engaged and there's a better result. And then, and generally speaking, I think you'd see better sort of return on investment,
right?
Because they're able to apply it back on the floor or with their team.
Right. Okay. So we're talking about leader-led training mm-hmm. or learner-centric training. How does this apply in the manufacturing, you know, industry?
Yeah. Good question. Interestingly, there's you could argue that some of it doesn't apply as much. I think some people might say it doesn't apply as much because they'd say something like, well, you know, if you've got to learn that piece of equipment, it doesn't really matter how motivated you are. You just have to learn it. Or when it comes to health and safety, you just have to learn health and safety. You don't really get a choice but to take that course or first aid or whatever it is. Right. We sometimes think some of those kind of standardized courses, if you want to call them that, and even the mandatory ones, we don't have to worry too much about making them rather learner-centric, because you know what? The teacher's going to come, they're going to deliver their, you know, their WMIS training or their safety training.
Right, because it's so standardized.
And yet, again, what we were just saying is that we know that when learners are engaged in their learning, when they've sort of chosen to think that this is important to me, I should care about this, then we know that there's a better takeaway. We know that there's a better uptake and application of that information. And so I think even with a course like health and safety or first aid or WMIS training, whatever it might be, I still think it's important that the learners have sort of an understanding of why they're in that training, what the value might be to them, what the value is to the organization, kind of how it all fits into the bigger picture. Again, instead of, you know, on Monday you're doing WMIS training, see you there.
Right.
No explanation, no sort of, you know, are you interested in that? And the other thing you'd want to think about as, for example, if you're a leader and you're sending people to training, is thinking about, are you giving them, are you even saying to them, hey, have you done WMIS training in the past? Do you have first aid training experience to understand, is this going to be completely brand new?
Right. Or is to this, majority of the group or is this where are we starting? Refresher. Exactly, yeah, absolutely. Exactly. Oh, that's neat.
Yeah. And so interestingly, when we think of, you know, assessments, when we think of the idea of having to do an assessment before a training or even during a training, in a teacher-centric learning environment, it's more about grading. Right? The test is more about, did you pass or did you fail? Oh. Have you learned the information or have you not? Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
In a learner-centric learning approach or learning environment, those assessments aren't really about pass and fail. It's more about just gauging where you're at and where you need to go. So they're almost like self-evaluations. Hey, how am I doing with this? So for example, in our training, we have our frontline leadership strengths assessment that we do in most of our sessions. That's not about saying you either pass or fail as a leader, as a frontline leader. Obviously not. What it's about is saying, what are you currently doing really well? What do you currently need to work on as a leader?
Do you find people are truthful with themselves when it comes to things like that?
I think when they've had the time to reflect.
Right? Oh, okay.
Because it's really easy for me to put you on the spot and say, Suzanne, what do you think, you know, what's your ranking of yourself on X or Y? And sometimes you need time to think about that.
Right.
You need time to reflect on, well, how do I manage conflict on my team? You know, am I able to manage conflict in a way that provides win-win outcomes?
Mm-hmm.
That takes a bit of time to think about that.
Right.
Or, you know, do I communicate in a way that my team understands what I need, when I need it, and where I need it? Or do I just kind of blurt stuff out and not maybe think about how cohesive it is? You got to think about that. And so part of what we build into our programs is the opportunity for them to reflect on some of their past leaders, but also themselves as a leader to think, how am I doing on these things?
Mm-hmm.
And then by the time they get to the assessment, they've done a fair bit of reflection, hopefully, and they're answering those questions pretty honestly, I would say. And they're able to identify, these are the things I do pretty well already. Yeah. These are the things I'd like to do better.
Right.
And then again, it's not at all, in fact, about pass or fail as a leader. It's more about you're already doing certain things pretty well, likely.
Mm-hmm.
What do you want to do even better?
Nice. Right? Okay.
And so that's, in one way, that's how it applies to a manufacturing setting. Because we're thinking about, when we think about the technical skills, like I said, how to run a piece of equipment, health and safety, WMIS, we sometimes think the learner-centric approach doesn't apply.
Right.
But I really think it does. But I think it applies even more so and maybe more easily in a setting like we typically see, which is leadership training. Because it forces them to think about, how am I currently as a leader?
Right.
What are my current leadership skills? And where do I want those skills to be?
To go,
And therefore, then they can get more out of the training because they're thinking about it and they're going, I want to get a lot out of this. I've got to focus on this and I've got to know which parts are the parts I want to concentrate on in the training.
Right. So as technology is advancing, of course, always, every day, here we go.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see any future trends that are going to be happening when it comes to learner-centric training and manufacturing?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I think one interesting piece is as we start to see developments in things like online platforms, like we have our on-demand, you know, frontline leadership on-demand, and we have different courses. One of the neat things about learner-centric training is that often they get a say in sort of what activities or what courses or what material they learn. Because if they say, well, listen, I've already done a lot of work on figuring out communication and how to be a strong communicator, thinking about my body language when I communicate, does it make sense to put them through the same maybe basic communication course that other leaders are doing
who
haven't had the training, right? And so I think as we see the rise of learning management systems or LMSs and learning platforms like that, I think we'll start to see the ability for people to be able to pick in a more individualized way what training they actually want to complete. Because if you think about it, if you're, say you're a leader on a team, and you're needing to give some feedback, right? You've got some new people on your team and maybe you've never been good at giving feedback. That's always been a struggle for you because for a lot of us, giving feedback is a challenge.
It's hard.
About how they're going to receive it.
We're
afraid they'll take it poorly.
Absolutely.
So you've got to give some feedback. Maybe performance reviews are coming up, or maybe you just want to give more real time on the floor feedback, right? You can either wait for the leadership training coming up in 6 months and then hopefully they'll cover that in there, or in a more learner-centric environment where maybe you have some, for example, on-demand options, maybe there's a thing specifically on how to deliver good feedback. You can go ahead and take that because that's what's relevant to you.
Yeah.
Right? Now, if it's asynchronous, you don't necessarily have the instructor right
there. Oh, we learned about that.
We did, yeah. But if it's more of a synchronous setting where the instructor is there, right, then again, there the instructor is not just imparting all this wisdom on how to properly give feedback, right. But the instructor might just facilitate a conversation. The facilitator might say, what feedback have you given in the past and how did it land? And so it causes you to reflect, causes you to think about what you currently do. Mm-hmm. Okay, why do you think that didn't work as well as you'd liked? Or how do you think you could make it work better? So in a lot of cases with learner-centric training, it's also sort of the instructor is this facilitator leading you to an answer as opposed to, again, them sharing their infinite wisdom. And so I think that's one trend we're going to start to see where people have almost like a bit of a buffet or a smorgasbord of training
that
options.
That sounds tasty.
It is, yeah. That they can pick from in order to say, well, these are the things that affect me right now on my team. These are the things that I would be better off knowing kind of sooner rather than later. And we'd probably move away a little bit from those sort of all day potential training sessions or, you know, more rigid training sessions where we don't get to pick a lot of that. I mean, if you look at a lot of conferences and stuff that people might go to, what you start to see is that there's fewer of those sessions where it's like the whole group having to sit together and listen to one presenter and more what they might call roundtable discussions or breakout discussions.
Okay.
That's a great example of sort of learner-centric learning. Okay. They get to look at the agenda and go, okay, I have five options right now. Which one is most relevant to me?
Right.
Instead of a setting where it's like everyone has to go through the same training for the entire conference or for the entire weekend. So already we're starting to see it in lots of different circles. And I think we're going to continue to see that individualization of the learning path so that learners can feel like everything they're learning is helpful to them and specific and relevant to them.
Mm-hmm. Earlier, so I'm going to take you back for a hot second because earlier you'd said LMS. What is LMS? Yeah.
So for those that may not be familiar, an LMS is a learning management system. And so there's lots of different online learning management platforms so that have online courses. Think of, some of you may have heard of Coursera or Thinkific.
Oh, yes, I have. Yeah.
Those are examples of LMSs.
And that's different from on-demand.
Yeah, so it's sort of a way to provide on-demand training, right?
Oh,
so
okay.
You can go to these platforms and you can go ahead and sign up for a course and take that training. In some cases, there's lots of public ones. So again, like Coursera or LinkedIn Learning, those are examples where sort of anyone just needs an account and can go ahead and sign up.
Mm-hmm.
And then the sort of flip side to that is organizations that have their own internal on-demand system or LMS where just people that are part of that organization can access those courses and that learning.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay, I think that's really it for me. I can't think of anything else that I would really want to ask today, unless there's something that you think we might need to talk about more.
No, I think we're good. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Yeah. And tune in next time. Yeah. Kirk and I will be back.
See you later. Take care.